and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, that's our passage. We've been looking at that last week as well. Now, one phrase I'd like to pick on tonight is, and that's the phrase, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, if you put yourself in that situation, the tremendous step that these people took, and Moses also, as their leader, and you haven't got a brave army of men marching out. You have fathers and mothers and nervous mothers with their children and terrified of the might of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. So if you put yourself in how they felt, it wasn't, oh, we decide to go, goodbye, and off we go. It was something that was very, very, very risky to do and could cause them great sorrow. But we are looking at, I've been calling, the gallery of men and women of faith, whose faith was in God. And in verse 6, perhaps the key one really, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that Moses made his choice, he weighed up the material, and he gazed on the eternal, and he turned his back on the material and aimed for the eternal. That's really what he did, and it's an amazing thing to do. By faith and the steps of doing it, he realized and was conscious of his nationality and the heritage and to whom they belonged. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that must have been quite a scene, because he would have done it openly, wouldn't he, to her at least. And she was Pharaoh's daughter, and she'd been kind to him, and she'd look after him, and in a way had rescued him. And it does seem strange to me, you know, when Pharaoh had ordered the execution of all male children up to a certain age, that this one should be saved, and his place should be in the palace of Pharaoh. If you were choosing a hiding place for Moses, would you have chosen Pharaoh's palace? I don't think so, would you? And there's something rather wonderful in the fact that God chose that he should be there, of all places. And then regarding him again, choosing rather to suffer affliction, because the people of God were being whipped and tormented and made to work in impossible conditions. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Now, that's a picture here. And for us, it would be to refuse this world, all the domination and tyranny of things and pleasures, and choose Christ. Now, when you look at things as they are today, it seems unimaginable that that could happen on a big scale. Because it seems to me that we are, despite the sorrows of the world, the fear regarding the weather, the fear regarding diseases, war after war, and all the very things we hear of, when you have to put the news on and you won't feel very cheerful afterwards, all these things, yet people choose with a blanket of enjoyment and entertainment. It's an amazing thing. You can have on the news, and you have very serious news, and before it and after, a ridiculous program. You know, That's a strange way how people try and blot things out. Now then, he's a man of faith. He set his course Godward at great peril. Remember that, at great peril. Nevertheless, the hand of God is apparently upon him. And we see the unfolding of the purposes of God for his church. Think again of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And now we come to Moses. This thread seems to be very, of continuation, seems so very fragile on times. Yet it may be a thread, but it is not fragile. It is a thread of God, and he will see his purposes through. And so we see them here in Moses, and the way Moses has been preserved for this purpose, the continuation of the people of God for that purpose. Moses now embarks on a life of faith. Now then, the first little thing I'd like to bring to your attention, that he was very aware of the presence of God. This known presence of God was going to be very real to him. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing one who is invisible. Now, what are we saying there? He was seen beyond Pharaoh. He was seen a greater king, a more powerful one. So when Pharaoh was breathing out his threatenings, he was seen beyond Pharaoh, the presence and the loveliness of God. And it is a memorable thing. And if you remember, Pharaoh said unto him, remember after the plagues, the various plagues, and you were all aware of them, promises and broken promises, and then a plague, and a broken promise again, and a promise, and so on. Until in the end, Pharaoh had enough. He's very angry. And in 28, and Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Now, when Pharaoh said that, he would mean it. You know, there would be no escaping if he showed his face. And Moses said, imagine the boldness of this man. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. So there's quite a prophecy here, isn't there, really? And a confidence in God as well. His determination with the purpose of God. Now, by faith, he forsook Egypt, turned his back on Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So if you remember now, how can he do this? The Lord is very real to him. And because the Lord is very real to him, the circumstances he is in become mere shadows. Now, that can be for us too. You know, we can be overwhelmed with something. But if we exercise the presence of God, if we do that, and we cannot do it, but if we do that, then the present situation takes its rightful place because we get things in perspective. Otherwise, tiny things become big. You know, little things dominate us, and we fail to look up. Very much like Peter walking on the waves. He made a big mistake of looking down. He began to sink. But looked up again, all was well. He did not fear. There's a reality here. He's aware of God, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. That's Moses. That's his secret, you see. Now, there is nothing impossible to faith whilst we can keep. Whilst we can keep the quotation, there is nothing impossible to faith whilst we can keep a clear view of the power of God. That's worth it, isn't it? Nothing impossible to faith whilst we keep a clear view of the power of God and his faithfulness in his promises. That we put our faith in God and trust in his promises. From hence, we may fetch revivings, renewal, and strength, and consolations on all occasions, as the scriptures everywhere testify. So the Bible really is telling us all the time Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And believe the promises of God. And believe that he's able to bring you through. Now that's the man we have in Moses. You can think of maybe as a big, great leader. Yes, he was. He was a very determined man. Yes, he was. He was a very brave man. All that was true. But that would be nothing if you hadn't got a sense of the presence of God. I have quoted a hymn to you. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever, notice forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. And he delights to defend Moses. And Moses is going to carry out in his life the purposes of God. This is what he was born for. This is what he lived for. And this was his entire occupation, to carry out the purposes of God. Now then, what is the promise of God? God speaks and seals his promise in very real terms. In verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed be the firstborn should touch them. Now then, remember about the Passover. Just remind you of that now. When they were preparing to go and they were having a lamb, the blood of the lamb was put on the lintel on the doorway. And what was going to happen, and you know the account well, that despite Pharaoh's efforts, that the angel of death was to visit every home. The homes of the Egyptians brought great bereavements and sorrow. But when he came to the house with the blood on the doorpost there, the angel of death passed over, and the eldest son was spared, because it was the eldest son was being killed. Now then, when you think of that, it is a very, really, a lovely word, really. The angel of death passes over when he sees the blood of the Lamb. Now, that's in the Old Testament. But also, in a kind of a shadow form, it's they sprinkled the blood on the lintel of the door, and the angel of death passed by. But also for us, I'll read you some verses. John 1, verse, towards verse 36 there. The Lamb of God, you know, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The Lamb of God, 1 Corinthians 5:7, our Paschal Lamb, 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So it continued. You see. They had a lamb for a special purpose then, for the blood to be on the lintel of the door. And now here are we, in the same way that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb when we are forgiven and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the angel of eternal death, if you can put it like that, passes over us. That's a wonderful thing. We'll visit everyone else, or passes over us. In Hebrews, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now then, there can be in all of us, on times, perhaps too much sometimes, the fear of death. Such our hearts know. I've visited many old people in my time, and many have said something pretty similar. They've said, "I'm not afraid of the act of dying. What I'm afraid of, how will it be? I've never been that way before." But the amazing thing is this, that we will find, and we will find in our turn, if you believe, he'll give you grace to die. Now, you know, when they had manna in the wilderness, you didn't, apart from the Sabbath day, you didn't get tomorrow's manna today. Today's manna today. Tomorrow's manna tomorrow. How shall I cope with tomorrow? You take your bread for the day and then face tomorrow with me, and I'll supply all your need. So really it is quite something here, you know. Here it's talking about fear. But the power of death, we could be in bondage to it. And I've seen people in bondage to it. But when they come to Christ, however nervous they may be, and they may be of a very nervous personality, that bond is broken. You know, that bond is broken. You might say, well, do they not have some little qualms? Well, maybe they do. But when it comes to it, there's grace to die and grace to enter into glory. If you hold before us the presence of God, how can we be afraid? If we believe we are His, and if we believe that the blood of the Lamb covers us, and that the angel of the second death, put it in that way, cannot touch us. A little hymn here. None of the Lamb, none of the name, none of the hope in heaven or earth or sea, none of the hiding place from guilt and shame, none beside thee. Now then, have we believed like that? Now, what did you get from that? I believe it is this, and I think we all probably pray this on times. Lord, make thyself more real to me. Take the hymn, it's the translations. Speak, I pray thee, gentle Jesus. I'm trying all the words here now. I think it's 558, or 558 it is. Here we are. I've got it now. It's really good, you know. Speak, I pray thee, gentle Jesus. Oh, how sweet, how passing sweet thy words, breathing o'er my troubled spirit. Often true. Breathing o'er my troubled spirit, peace which never earth affords. You know, when you think of William Williams writing that, he knew a lot about grace, didn't he? And practice in the presence of God. All the world's distracting voices, all the enticing tones of ill, at thy accents, mild, melodious, are subdued, and all is still. He quietens all the voices that come against us. Now, this is what I like. Tell me, you know, dwede me, tell me, thou art mine, O Saviour. Grant me an assurance clear. Banish all my dark misgivings. Still my doubting, calm my fear. Now that's realism, don't you think so? That's spiritual realism. You know, these people too were only men and women, you know. Listen to it again. Tell me thou art mine, O Saviour. Grant me an assurance clear. Banish all my dark misgivings. Still my doubting, calm my fear. O my soul, within me yearneth now to hear thy voice divine. So shall grief be gone forever, and despair no more be mine. So he goes forth. He forsook Egypt. He turned his back on Pharaoh. Now then, his destination is, well, what is his destination? Listen to this verse. He really is in line with all the others. So we have to look at this verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, whereon our God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You see, there's a dual meaning there. Yes, they looked for a country. Yes, they've been promised a resting place on earth. Yes, they've been promised that. But it, like for us, you think of your address now. Shall I tell you, it's temporary. You say, well, I don't intend moving. It is temporary. It is a temporary address. You say, well, I need a temporary address. I say, well, we need a temporary address, you know, but you will have to leave it one day. You know, even if you were never into another house, I mean, you know, you'd have to leave it one day. Now, then, what is it? We're looking then for a better house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. They look for another country, a heavenly one. We look for another home, a heavenly home. That's our destination. Now, lastly, the power of God in this. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Now, this took some faith. to take the first step, didn't they? God's people are brought safely through. But when you think of the situation here, you know, the enemy is behind them, mountains each side of them, and the Red Sea in front of them. You would say, trapped, completely trapped in the fear of Pharaoh, the army of Pharaoh, trapped in unfortunate and sad and tragic circumstances. Absolutely trapped in their fears, trapped in their terror, trapped there. So what do? They exercise faith, or they still be trapped. Now, faith, justification by faith, is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But that faith is meant to be used in our daily lives. You know, you might ask some days, you know, Lord, give me enough faith to see me through this day. And there are many situations that are in our lives when there's a bit of a struggle, you know, and we feel we cannot go back, there's fear there. We cannot turn to anyone on either side, and the way ahead seems dark and blocked. You know, it can look like that. Sometimes we can be surrounded and we are trapped in our feelings, in our fears, in our situation, whatever it is. Now, whatever it is. And he's telling us, well, my child, come on. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And he's asking us there, come now. Look up. Don't look down. Don't look in on yourself. Don't count your fears. Don't count whatever it is, your nerves, whatever, a whole list of things. But look up and ask me to be real to you. I want to be. I'm by your side, but you're not looking at me. You're ignoring me. Speak, I pray thee, gentle Jesus. Tell me thou art mine. You know, a reassurance in the heart. And he won't let you down. That's a lovely thing. How many people have I met who said, I went, you know, great apprehension through this treatment I had to have. And suddenly I had a peace. Or, you know, quiet little people that you wouldn't hardly know perhaps in the congregation. And I had this peace. Wouldn't like to go through it again, but I'd never have been without it. And that's the amazing thing. Well, esteeming the reproach of Christ better riches. Now then, this path we had to go, that they had to go, was a costly one and a tiring one. And it's the same for us too. Yet, this reproach, what we have to walk a narrow way, we have to deprive ourselves of things we would never deprive ourselves of if we are still in the world. We go on that way, esteeming that there are better spiritual things, better riches. They are in Christ. And they're in him, and to draw on the resources of his grace. Now, faith in his word alone, faith in the reliability and the integrity of God. In Exodus, the verses chapter 14, 10, 13, 14, we have, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Now, notice, if you'd look, notice as you read your Bibles, when people have been anxious, individually or collectively, or kings or ordinary people, the first thing he tells them is, don't be afraid, you know. Take that chapter in John 14 again. In the further on, verse 27, it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because he's with us. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom he have seen today, yet he shall see them again no more forever. All that trouble, all that terror, you'll see it no more forever. That's what he says to him from the Lord. And then he goes on, the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. Don't grumble, don't complain, because If you look at it when in the wilderness, they were expert at murmuring, weren't they? The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. The secret is believing in God and believing in the promises of God. I finish with this little stanza of a hymn. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best and heavenly friend, thy heavenly friend, to thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Isn't that lovely? Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways, all right, they're thorny, to thorny ways leads to a joyful end. So we look for a better country, an heavenly destination, glory, destination, God. How did these men manage? Because they looked at seeing one who is invisible, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand.